Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
As Mufundis was calling me to the front, I expected someone to carry my Bible. Please don't. Brothers and sisters, I hope you are aware that I was supposed to preach last week, but I was not well. I was not even here at the college. I'm still recovering. I'm not yet perfect. So I hope that the Lord will help me through this this work. Thank you to our brothers who prayed for me as I come to deliver the message. Of course, we are still thinking of the past weeks where we were celebrating Good Friday. We had a nice discussion yesterday in our mentorship class about the issue. But let us go to the Word of God that is going to, I hope, help us understand. In the book of John, chapter 19, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we are going to get our scripture there. From verse 28. We will read from verse 28 to 37. It reads as follows. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. That is the word of God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning that you have gathered us once again to listen to your word, to praise and worship you. We bring our hearts, our thoughts, our life to you, so that, Lord, you may bless us through your word and the Holy Spirit. Be with us, be with me, Lord, as I deliver the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I hope I'll be able to speak through this message. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was of course crucified at the time of the Passover, as we have been celebrating these past weeks, as I said. During this time, the Jews would bring the lamb to be slaughtered. Every house in the nation of Israel was supposed to have at least a lamb to be slaughtered, as per the directive that was given in Egypt when the people of Israel were about to leave. This the Israelites kept on doing through the years. There were many years throughout the period of the time of Israelites. They will always celebrate Passover. While they were doing, they were celebrating and remembering what God did when they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. They were looking back what the Lord has done in their life. But the real significance of this activity was looking forward to the coming Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Israelites did not know that. They were looking back, but the significance of it was the forward-looking, when the Lamb would be crucified. Here in this scripture that we have read, we are told that after this, Jesus, knowing that all was finished, there were a lot of things that happened from the time Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane, where he prayed. The Bible says even the sweat that came out of him became blood. It was a very painful experience as he was facing the cross, looking at the cup that he was about to take. We know that after that he was arrested, taken to the different courts. He was tried by the religious leaders, and he was tried by the kings. As he was going through that process, it was very much painful experience, because at the end of what was happening, the Bible says a crown of thorn was put in his head, and he was mocked and abused in many things. I like to focus again on the trial that he went through. The Bible says the kings, Herod and Pilate, they found him not guilty. You remember, as these lambs were prepared for Passover, they will be examined for days to see if they are perfect. They have no any blemish in the body. At the end of the day, if they are perfect, then the ceremony could begin. So the trial of Jesus by these kings, the Bible says at the end of the day, it was declared there is no guilt in him. Jesus Christ was perfect. He lived his life without any sin. But now he also went to be tried by the religious leaders. The two chief priests, and they both declared him guilty. Why? The guilt that he carried, or rather I can put it in this way. This declaration of his guilt was representing a spiritual significance, because Jesus Christ was actually carrying our guilt, our sins. It was on our behalf that he was on a spiritual significance of it. He was found guilty, and yet he was innocent. As all those things happened, the Bible says the scripture was being fulfilled. He went through this excruciating experience of the crown of thorns, of being mocked, of being insulted, of many things that he had to go through. The Bible says this was because of God's wrath that was unleashed on him for our sins. We celebrate the death of Christ. It was not an easy thing, but he had to go through that process for our sins. We hope that whenever we have this time of Good Friday or whatever, people can just go back and remember, why did this happen? It was because of our sins. The Bible says after everything was done, then Jesus, seeing that everything is finished, he said, "I thirst." I thirst. Just imagine Jesus saying, "I thirst." You go back during his ministry. There was a time when, on the last day of the Feast of Booths, the Bible says, Jesus stood and said, "Whoever thirsts, let him come and drink." He was asking, calling the people to him, those who were thirsting, to come and have a drink. But today, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I thirst." And again, there was a time when Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan woman. He said to this woman, "If you knew who is asking for water from you, you would have asked from him, and he would give you the water of life. After drinking the water, you will never come back to draw water again." Those are the things that we found during his ministry. But today, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I thirst." And lastly, one example. There was a time when a rich man, we are told, the Bible says, after he was buried, he was found burning in hell. Because he says, I'm burning here. And he said, "Can you please let Lazarus come and just put water in my tongue so that I may not burn like this?" This man, he was burning in hell and he was thirsting for water. Then the Bible says Jesus Christ today at the cross is just crying, "I thirst." Why was this the case? Jesus became a man. We know that he is God, but he became a man. He became frail and vulnerable. That was for our sake. The Bible says when we pray, when we come to him, we don't come to someone who does not know our weaknesses. He went through this experience for our sake, so that whenever we cry to him and we have this difficulty in our life, he will understand. Therefore, we must receive him. He is our King. He is our Redeemer. He died for us. That's why he was thirsting like that. The Bible continues to say, he also said, it is finished. Many people maybe hear these words during the Passover festivities. One of the words that he uttered on the cross, he said, it is finished. And that's where, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask us to focus on. I have 3 points to make about these words, or about the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. Number one, he died to complete the work of restoring men to God. What he said, it was finished. It was the long process of restoring men back to God. That's point number one. Number two, by his death, we are freed from the bondage of sin. Having Jesus died for us, it means we are free from sin. And lastly, number three, we can celebrate our union with Christ by living a holy life. Having Jesus died for our sins, having ourselves being freed from sin, we can now celebrate our union with Christ by living a holy life. The whole exercise, the whole understanding of what happened on the cross lead us to celebrate our union with Christ by living a holy life. These are the 3 points. Number one, he died to complete the work of restoring men to God. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
In Eden, at the fall, as man was falling into sin, we know that God had told Adam and Eve that the day they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they are going to die. That was the fall. That was the beginning of the problems that we all still experience even today. The devil knew this, that the Lord God had said they must not eat. And he persuaded them to eat of the tree because the devil wanted them to die. But he did not know that we have a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. Because right there, as it was expected, God provided a solution to the problem of sin. An animal was killed. These people, instead of them being killed, they were covered. Their shame was covered. And the promise of total restoration was made when God said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. I think that was a disappointment to the devil. But it's where we start to see God's grace. Some people will say, we see grace for the first time in the New Testament. But we see it right from the Garden of Eden, where men fell. God promised that he is going to provide a permanent solution to the sin and the fall of man. Throughout the history of the people of Israel, God prepared the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ by providing the symbols that were pointing to Christ. There were priests, high priesthood, Sabbaths, sacrifices, and many other things that were pointing to the coming of Christ. God has always had a problem with sin, and God has always provided a solution to sin. During the time of the Israelites, whenever a person sinned, he would be defiled before God. God would provide a way that this person bring a sacrifice so that his sin can be removed and he can be reconciled so that he can continue his relationship with God. But the Bible says all those things were imperfect. They were just a pointing to Christ who was to come. When Jesus finally came, he preached the gospel of the kingdom that was coming. He built the foundation by choosing the disciples who will preach, continue with this gospel of the forgiveness of sin. They will tell people that they can now believe in Jesus Christ and be born again to be the children of God. That is the gospel that they were preaching. There was a day of atonement in Israel where the high priest will go to the Holy of Holies, perform some rituals. When he comes out of that Holy of Holies, he will come out to the people in the name of Jehovah and announce to the people the forgiveness of the sins of the people for that year. All those who would repent, their sins will be forgiven. That was what was happening during the time of Israel, and it was pointing to Christ. And Jesus today is saying it is finished. It is complete and accomplished. Every condition of the work of human redemption had been fulfilled at the moment when Christ uttered the words, "It is finished." These are the words of victory. We have just heard Jesus said, "I thirst," which shows his humanness and frailty. But after that, he says, "It is finished." Maybe everyone was surprised. What is finished now? The devil also was also surprised, and the demons. What God has always wanted to accomplish with the restoration of man, it was finished. God's plan of saving man is accomplished. Jesus' ministry on earth is complete. He is now going back to the Father who sent him. The salvation of mankind is accomplished by the death, the resurrection, and the entering the heavenly tabernacle with his own blood that atoned for our sins. When Jesus fulfilled this service, he entered, the Bible says, into the heavenly tabernacle with his own blood. And then the destruction of the work of Satan is complete. The book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, "The Son of Man came to destroy the work of the devil." That is accomplished. Our salvation. The second point I said will be, by his death we are freed from the bondage of sin. Because of the fall of Adam, we became sinners. We were born in sin and we lived a sinful life. Sin enslaves, sin destroys, and it kills. If you live in sin, you are a slave and you are heading for destruction and death. One cannot free himself from sin. It is not possible. Joining a church and doing everything you are told to do does not free you from sin. That you are a member of the church does not mean that you are free from sin. You can faithfully attend the church every day and every Sunday. You can be faithful in church offerings and tithes. That does not free you from sin, brother or sister. You can even be a powerful preacher and a good interpreter of scriptures, but life continue to live in sin while you are doing that. We have seen that is happening. You need to acknowledge that you are a wretched sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus, and confess him as your liberator from sin, a redeemer. You need to repent with sorrow and grief. You know, if a person says he repents, but there's no, does not show any remorse, that person is very much ready to go back into what he has done. We have to repent with grief and sorrow. Hate sin, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in the book of John chapter 8 verse 36, you will be free indeed. When he frees you, you become free indeed. Can we say amen as we go to the last point? If you are thus freed from sin, brother or sister, then you can celebrate your union with Christ by living a holy life. Living a holy life does not lead you to salvation, but it is a celebration of the salvation that you have received from the Lord. It shows that you are saved. When Jesus rose up, he declared, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." So we have the Lord that conquered sin and death, and through him we are more than conquerors. We need to walk tall and with confidence that we are liberated from the bondage of sin. We are not slaves of sin anymore. So we walk with confidence, we praise our Lord, we thank him for what he has accomplished. In a form of a conclusion, I'm just going to read the passage and thereafter I will leave you to go. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 14. Well, I wish I could read it for you while you are listening. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 14. It reads as follows. For we have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if We have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. I have written that in bold. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion. Do not present your members, which is your body parts, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. That is the scripture. Does your life glorify God? Jesus died a painful death so that you will be free from sin and live a victorious life in him. That is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for having been with us, and we trust, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is the one that has been speaking in our hearts to warn, to guide, and to encourage us, Lord, in your word and in the life that we have been given through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, we have no power to do it by our own means and ability. We trust, as we surrender our lives to your will, you will strengthen, empower us to live a holy life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.